Hello, everyone. Let's get started.
Hello.
All right. So what are we coaching on? We had a binge last night, or I had a fight with my fiance because I needed his validation. You never need anyone else's validation. That's probably why you're binging.
Well, I had a fight. Well, I didn't binge that day.
The binge if you're binging, it's usually because you're not having your own back, which is self-validation.
Yeah. I think the trigger, I don't know if that's the right word, last night was comparing myself. So that's kind of like not having my own back, too. You're
comparing yourself to what?
To another woman. I tend to compare myself to other women and feel less than, especially if they are slim. Or rich. So that's what happened last night. I think.
Do you think you binged because you were comparing yourself to someone, or do you think you binged because you said, I would like to have this food?
No, I know that, that I wanted the food. I know that I could have stopped at any time. I did the recovery and I found something that I was not expecting for the feeling of the problem that I solved. I realized that it was discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went a little bit further and I said, I think I was uncomfortable with myself, but I was also wanting the food and to have the discomfort of not eating the food.
And what was that like? So what was the conversation you had when you wanted the food?
To be honest, I didn't have much of a conversation. I think it was like an unconscious, like automatic thing, like foggy maybe, because I was trying to figure out what was I telling myself. Like, did I try to resist or allow? I really don't think I did.
So there was no discomfort.
Okay.
The discomfort is in the not having. So if there was if there was no moment where you weren't giving it to yourself, it was like, here it is, I want it, let's go. We didn't even try to experience discomfort.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I walked in the door with food.
Where did the food come from before you walked in?
I was at this woman's house. A friend or acquaintance is becoming a friend, and she was telling me stuff about her life, and I think I was comparing myself to her, and I wasn't managing my mind about it. Also, my routine was different. Like, I don't usually come home at that time. Lately, I've been not eating after dinner. I had. So, at that time of night, I wouldn't be eating normally. It was like around 9 o'clock. So I think that was part of it too.
No, I don't want you to like put that as part of it. There's plenty of times in life where you're not going to eat dinner at the normal time, and you're probably going to be able to eat dinner at 9 o'clock and not need to binge. That's why I want to separate that out. I don't want your brain making a connection to like, well, I was out of my routine. That must be why I binge. It's like, no.
No.
You decided to eat. So we're at this chick's house. We're comparing to her and feeling less than because we're not managing our mind. Where did the food come in, though? I still haven't figured out. We've never decided when we bought it.
I bought it while I was out before I went to her house.
Okay.
And so I was bringing it in, and it was supposed to be for today, that food. But when I walked in, I went unconscious or started fog eating, and I just went to the TV. Midway, I'm saying, I could stop at any time.
So you
weren't going to stop. I didn't want to stop.
I just want to make sure the story that you tell yourself is super accurate and detailed.
Okay.
Because this is what happens. We get, thank you, babe. We get very, I don't know why it happens. Like I just want to get real specific around what happened. I'm going to tell all of you, it is so much easier to figure out binge eating and why we're doing it and all these other things when we allow ourselves to like just trace back as much detail as we possibly can without judgment. So I'm at the lady's house. She's telling me about her life, and you're thinking what? like, just give me one or two thoughts that about the idea of her life compared to your life.
Well, she was telling me how she got a divorce recently. And I said to myself, well, this is another lesson in nobody's life is perfect. Because I used to think that her life was perfect. But yet I was still thinking, still looking at her figure and thinking, she's gonna have it easy meeting somebody else or whatever, because of her figure.
Okay.
So basically, it's the body image thing. Like,
well, she may have it easier. Why do you care? I would be like, great for you.
Exactly. That's what I need to do. I need to.
But I want to know why you don't.
I don't, because I think I'm not as worthy as someone then.
I think you're making a lot of leaps. Like, this is what I want you to, like, let's just get specific. Like, I think you've, like, thought about all these big reasons why you're broken, and now you're just throwing them in. Like, you think she's going to have it easy, and then your brain immediately goes to, and this is why I'm an unworthy person.
No.
Right. That's why I want to, like, pull it all apart, because
it's really
hard for you to solve binging. If you think all this stuff's going on and it's not even happening.
Right. It's all not real. It's all just a thought.
So she had a divorce. She's going through a divorce. Your thought is, it's going to be easy for you, chick. You're nice and thin. Yeah. So, like, then what? Like, to me, nothing has happened yet. I'm waiting for you to tell me something like, and this was written. Like,
no, I think I was just, I don't know, uncomfortable.
And why were you uncomfortable with her?
Not sure.
What were you thinking about yourself in those moments?
Well, probably I can never get to my goal. Like, I'm doing well. I lost 30 pounds.
Yeah.
At times, I still find it hard to believe I'm going to get my body the way I want it.
Of course. But that's not anything going wrong. No. But no, I want you to, like, really, like, is that you thinking something's going wrong because I keep having a hard time believing my body will be where I want it to be? Or, like, where are you at with that part?
Like, for example, I went to the doctor and the doctor gave me good news about my blood pressure. And I said to myself, okay, I'm not going to self-sabotage now. I'm not going to fear that I can't keep going. But it was like, I was having the fear.
Yeah.
That was the first thought that was coming to me. Like, I was happy and excited about the good news, but I got a little scared that I can't keep going with it. And
I want to ask you, because I think this will help you with your binging. Don't you think it's normal to be scared sometimes when you're losing weight?
That's a great question. I guess I never thought of that. Yeah, I guess it is normal. Normal to question.
This is the thing. It's normal to question. It's also normal to understand, I'm afraid, and I'm only afraid because I'm thinking these things. Like, that's the normal part. Here's the abnormal part. Corinne, I'm, like, having success, and, like, I went to the doctor, and I must be so broken because I started immediately getting scared that I was going to self-sabotage.
Yeah.
That is where we want to do our work, is judging where our brain's going. And I watch all of you do this. You do a lot of thinking that because you have thoughts that aren't serving you, that something's going wrong. Somehow this is going to fuck up my weight loss. Somehow this is going to mess me up. No. It only does that when you think it's wrong of you to do it. You make these thoughts mean something negative about you. Versus, I notice, Like I told myself, I don't want to self-sabotage. Like, I thought you gave, like, in my mind, I'm like, excellent advice, Dina. Because if you're telling yourself, and we're not going to self-sabotage, we're not going to do this, we're going to take this news and we're going to, like, I'm a little afraid that we might, but here's how we're going to do it. We're going to stay on plan, and this is because good things are happening here. It's where you hold fear, but you also hold focus at the same time.
Yeah. I did do some work on that, and I said to myself, just because in the past I gained it back or I didn't keep going, doesn't mean that that's going to happen now. And I can do it because I have done it for these 30 pounds.
Also, answer me this. So for this time.
This time that I'm losing weight.
Yeah. What's different from the last time?
Oh, hell of a lot. Everything's different.
That is what we want to tell ourselves, because what we do is we get so hung up on, like, yeah, but, you know, you used to do this and you used to do that. That's called what we call past focus. And it's very normal for humans to want to do this. We want to go, like, in order for me to lose the next, how much more weight do you want to lose?
Let's see. At least 40.
Okay. More. So let's say 40. So for my next 40 pounds, in order for me to lose that, I need to be thinking about who I want to be. I want to be thinking about what's different this time. That's called going to your future and making a decision about the next 40 versus what a lot, like what you are catching yourself doing is, I've lost 30, but you know, you've gained it so many times. You know, all this has happened. That's like saying, I'm going to go to all of my failures to figure out where I'm going now. If you are going there to get a lesson on, like, you know what, I want to investigate my past diets when I regained it, because that's for sure not happening this time. So I want to go and make sure that whatever that I was thinking and doing then, that I am on tap right now for doing it differently this time. That's you setting yourself up for a future. But what most of us do is we go back and we get terrified. Well, don't get too comfortable. Don't believe in this. Don't do these things.
Yeah.
It's very similar to, like, looking at other people, like seeing thin women and thinking somehow they've got something you don't have.
That's means what it is.
Must be, like, you must be lacking. Here's what I always like to do. I like to think about when I look at someone who is doing better than me, who has a body I wish I had, a business I wish they had, a family, or a, like, I have a lot of, I watch myself when I'm around my friends who are really close to their children. Because that's one of the things that I've compared myself with so much, because connection with my child is something I work on. It's not natural for us. It just happens then. And I've had to really manage my brain around, like, when I'm doing it, like, well, she's got it easy. Her kid doesn't have a diagnosis. You know, her kid's so much fun. They like sports. Like, when I do that stuff, I'd say, you know what? What can I learn from this person? You know what they also do? Just enjoy their child no matter what. That's always available to me. Just like when you have thin friends, like, what can I learn from my thin friends? What can I learn? Rather than sitting there thinking they have something I don't have, I could be sitting there thinking, like, what do I need to be learning that was going to help me? And do I even really want what they have? Sometimes I think we get jealous of people and we don't even really want what they have. She's going through a divorce. And your immediate thought is, well, it'll be easy for you.
Well, At first I was thinking, wow, this is my lesson that it keeps coming back to me. You know, nobody's life is perfect. And I have to, I know that, like, she's going through a hard time and, you know.
And this is also probably something good for you to see. Like, every time you're comparing yourself, just say, like, how can I look at this? Like, I know that all of that looks good, but what about their life that I can take peace in knowing they don't have it all together just like me? None of us have it all together. I'm just pretending that they do, as if at some point in my life, I'm going to have all my shit together. So now I'm going out to seek evidence. And it's like, no, no one has all their shit together. And that's okay, including myself.
Like, oh, so we're always working on something about it that we want to accomplish.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, losing all of your weight is not going to suddenly make everything easy for you. None of you.
No, I do have that. I do have that thought that I have to tweak.
Tell me how your life is going to be vastly different when you lose all your weight. So you said at least 40. Let's pretend it like you lose a total of 100 pounds. Like, you are thinner than you ever thought you could be. You are in the pants. It's like, fuck, I'm wearing them on the inside out. I want everyone to see the size.
Well, I don't know. I haven't spent much time thinking about that, but
before you say what you're going to say, this is what you absolutely need to spend time thinking about.
Yeah.
What is this picture that I have painted where everything's going to be easier? And I want you to like write that out. Here's how I see weighing, you know, 70 pounds less than I do now, or whatever the total number is. Like, mm-hmm. What is your ideal weight? Like, what if you could have any weight, you would weigh what?
Well, 135. Okay. So that's more than 40 more pounds.
Like, a 135 pound version of Dina. Here's where, like, if I want to get a job and I walk in and be like, did you know I weigh 135 pounds? My job.
Well,
if you want a man, you walk into any bar and be like, did you all know I weigh 135 pounds? Line up, boys.
Well, I envision that I will be 100% comfortable in my skin and 100% like, take it or leave it. This is me.
You really think that's going to happen?
No, it's no one feels that way all the time.
Let me ask you this. If you weigh 135 pounds and somebody in the grocery store goes up to you and goes, are you going to be like, comfortable in my skin, I weigh 135 pounds, take it or leave it, bitch? Or are you going to be like, my God, I lost all this weight. You looked at me like that way. Is something wrong with my clothes?
I might. Or I might think, what the hell is wrong with you?
But here's the thing. If somebody looked at you that way now, you could think, what the hell's wrong with you?
I think that. Yeah.
If you don't practice, like, this is why I'm having you do this exercise. I really want you to think about where you think, like, I'm going to be walking around comfortable in my skin. You can walk around right now 100% confident in your skin because you're like, no one else's opinion matters above mine. And I'm working on my self-regard. Like, I'm going to love this so much. I'm willing to even eat less. Like, I'm not changing this body because I think I'll feel better. I'm changing this body because I love it so much. Where you're trying to change it from hate and uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
If you want to love the end product, you got to love where it is now. You've got to love this body so much. You want it so bad. Otherwise, what happens is you end up binging because you get in your head about stuff like you're going to be comparing to other people and sizing yourself up against them and making yourself feel bad. And then you're going to go home, and it's so much easier to go into the automatic eating because you're not loving yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta catch myself thinking these thoughts and I guess try to work on them in the moment.
In the moment you're doing it, this is, I think, one of the simplest hacks. Is in the moment when you're doing it, I want you to just tell yourself, and it's okay that I'm comparing to someone else. It's just a bunch of thoughts. Like, for all of you, like, we always look like, what is that intentional model? I think it's great to have our new beliefs. The intentional model is what you're willing to believe. But in the interim, like, when we're just doing thought work on the fly and we can't be like, oh my God, hang on. I know you're getting a divorce and you're really thin, but I need to do a model. Never happened, right? It's been like listening and been like, oh, I'm sitting here like feeling bad about myself in the middle of a generic conversation. I must be having thoughts that aren't helping me right now.
Yeah, like I'm like,
that's
I'm
all
not you have catching to do. It. I'm not catching it. Like, I'm not like, I know what I was thinking after the fact, you know. drawing, I'm not catching it. I'm just like feeling and thinking.
But your feeling is the catch. So this is what I want to tell you guys. I think a lot of you want to be like, I'm in the middle of a conversation and like I'm watching my brain. Like y'all aren't that skilled yet. Like the only reason why I can do it now, and hell, I do it about 50% of the time. I mean, most of the time I'm just like pissed. I'm like, oh my God. Like I've already yelled at someone and now I'm just now hearing what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. You want to get so good at knowing, like, I'm just going to feel lots of stuff and I'm not going to judge myself over it anymore. But when I'm like, you know, that if you're feeling unworthy or you're feeling uncomfortable about yourself, like whatever that feeling is that you have, you know, mm-hmm. that is a sign something is going on in my brain right now. I don't even have to fix what's going on in my brain. I just need to know the only reason why I feel bad right now is I'm thinking something, but it has right. nothing to do with what's going on. It gets that's not a great more tip. All that stuff.
Because I think perhaps noticing the feeling would work. Like noticing the feeling would be easier than trying to, you know, pay attention to my thoughts.
Yeah. Constantly. We call this pausing the model. So we have some stuff in the just archived video replays. If you go to the video replays and just look for all content or the model and start pausing the model, we have some stuff on it. But essentially what happens is when you think about our model, we have our circumstance. So she says, I'm getting a divorce. Your thought is, it's going to be a lot easier for her. And then you feel bad, whatever it is. And then your action in that moment is probably to start comparing how, like, this is why I suck. You start going on a this is why I suck, like, mantra on the inside. You start, like, saying, yeah, I'm never going to find a man, and I'm going to have to weigh 135 pounds where anybody loves me. Like, your brain.
I'm engaged to be married.
Whatever. Your brain is, like, your brain needs a good old-fashioned can of whoop-ass put on it.
Why am I worried about that?
It's just like, we just got to, like, tell our brain.
That's why I wanted to get on here.
You need to be the spirit of your brain for a little bit. But you're going to catch yourself spiraling, right? Like, saying some shit about yourself. When you notice you're feeling bad and you're hearing that, like, oh, this is the first pause. Before I continue to verbally beat myself down on the inside, I'm just going to tell myself, it's okay. I'm just thinking things. Nothing's going wrong right now. That's like step one. The next, then you start getting to where, like, for me, it's like yelling. When I'm yelling at someone, I've already passed through anger. I'm already into the yelling. And is the sound jacked for people? Y'all need to tell me if it's jacked up. I don't have any other complaints. It may just be you need to come out and come back in. So what the thing is that then you start noticing like how you act. And so you stop yourself in the middle. Like when I like I'm talking to Chris, if I'm yelling at him, sometimes I'm just like, I'm sorry. Like I'm not thinking straight. Let me come back. Like I know for me, that's how I pause my model. Then I've gotten really good at, I can feel myself getting angry. And I know I've got one of two options. Start yelling and complete an ineffective model. Stop and say, like, you know what? I'm going to, like, address this in an hour. I don't talk to people when I'm angry. That is my own personal rule now. And then I go and I do something else. Like, I think about what I'm talking about. So I pause a lot in a feeling line. Then you start getting to the point to where you can, like, there's times when I can tell, like, I'm starting to get angry. Like, I'm not even feeling it yet. I just will say, like, oh, shit, I'm having a lot of angry thoughts right now. I need to, like, investigate this. I need to change how I'm thinking. Like, this is going to be okay. Nothing's going wrong right now.
Okay.
That's called pausing the model. But you get good at it. So it's like the first thing you have to do before anybody can even really pause the model, you have to know those ineffective ones. That's why it's so important to do those recovery worksheets around bending. You have to know what is it that you're thinking and feeling all the time, because then what you want to do is get really good at learning how to, when you notice yourself eating, That's going to be the first pause in a binge model. Is guess what? You're going to be binging. And you're going to have to somehow like, you know what? I'm just not finishing this binge. I may have started one and I may be 3/4 of the way through one. But, you know, we're stopping now. This is where I'm going to get really good. So that I get so good at noticing when I'm starting a binge that I can eventually start feeling an urge and be like, we're not going to binge right now. We might binge in an hour, but right now we're going to work on the urge. I'm going to work on that feeling and telling myself nothing's going wrong here. This is just an urge. I'm probably feeling uncomfortable about something else. Let's investigate that first. Then if we're still hell-bent on having our binge in an hour, I give you permission. But that's a huge change. That's a huge leap. For all my overeaters, same thing. Then you get to where you start noticing you do enough recovery worksheets, the thoughts that talk you into the binge. And then you start hearing them and be like, I know where this conversation's going. So if we want to binge in an hour, that's fine. But for now, we're going to work on the conversation before the urge really gets urgent. I may still want to eat a little, but I'm not going to go to urgency. I'm just going to be like, what is it that I'm needing right now? What am I going to agree to do for myself right now? What are the things that we're going to do? And then we get to decide later. That's how you start pausing the model. And that's how you start switching the game up. But guys, most of you, I tell you this shit and you'll do it twice. That didn't work. It's not working, Corinne. No, if you're a binge eater or you're a chronic overeater who relies on emotionally eating to manage your emotional life, it's like 3 to 4 months of doing that and having your own back and saying like, so much better for me to start learning this and start doing it a little bit different. And this is where like the binge says, hey, there's a problem. I think you were comparing and despairing earlier. Let's work on your self-worth. How about we do some of that?
Yeah, I think when I was binging, I didn't even realize until I did the recovery.
Yeah.
I did, while I was binging, say to myself, I could stop at any time.
But what?
I didn't want to. During the binge, I said to myself, I could stop at any time. Yeah. Like I caught myself. But I didn't want to. And I was face down. You know what? It's like you're in the middle. Yeah, you're in the middle of it. And it just seems.
That's still progress, though. I want you to really.
Yeah, I'm proud of that.
Yes, I want you to really see how. And I'm proud of you for it. Because it's like before, there was never an option to even stop a binge. Mm-hmm. Now, your brain is starting to say, like, are we sure? Are we sure? Are we sure? And then there's going to be a day. And you need to, like, be really proud of that moment. Mm-hmm. And like really let that sink in, like I am making progress. Because a lot of you will go to, well, I'm not making any progress, Corinne. I'm like gaining the weight, binging, like blah, blah. It's like
also
out how you, what, let me say this, figure out how you're making your progress and roll around and bathe in it, especially when you have self-worth issues, because that will be the most uncomfortable work you're going to do, which is, yeah, I love myself enough to find success in the moments I'm used to not finding success. Then after a few times, there will be the day where you'll be like, you know what? I think I'm going to like actually do that stop thing and see what happens.
Yeah. Like another thing I said to myself, I'm going to try to make this neutral while I'm eating. I'm saying that to myself. And also I don't beat myself up about it. Like I get back on the next day. So that's a lot better than it used to be.
Right. Like I literally, there's anything I want you to do, because when you're a compare and despair person and stuff, do way more work on what's going right. I want you to
compare and despair. I never heard that.
What?
I never heard compare and despair. That's a good like way to put it.
Yeah. Well, that's all that happens when we're comparing. Like the only time I ever compare myself to other people is when I purposely choose people doing it way better than me. And I compare not to beat myself up. I compare myself to figure out, and here's the gap that I'm going to start working on.
Yeah.
And I pick damn good role models. Like, for all of you, if you're going to compare yourself to someone, compare yourself to someone who's doing it amazingly, that can be like a rock star mentor. Don't be just like picking some chick who's getting a divorce who happens to be thin.
Someone like you.
Pick me. Pick me. Pick me. Pick the coaches. Pick. We got so many rock stars in the tribe. So many of you look at people who are doing it so well in the tribe, you beat yourself up. And I'm like, oh my God, take a look at them and be like, if they can do it, I can do it. What is the gap? And I want to start taking small steps towards them and ask them questions. Rather than sitting there beating yourself up, ask a question instead. Way better use of your time.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All righty, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She did so good. All right. Let's see. Sylvia. Let me see who all's on here. If you had, if you requested coaching and you got, just make sure your hand's up. I'm going to get through as many as I can. I don't know if I'll get through you all, but I'm going to get through as many of you as I can. Let's do it.
Hi.
Hello. What are we coaching on?
So I'm coaching on, I feel stuck right now. I'm an April baby and I did very good for 2 months.
Okay.
And I don't know. It just, yeah, I don't know. It got boring, I guess.
Always gets boring.
Yeah, no,
why is that a bad thing?
I know. But the thing is, I don't know how to make it not fun, but light again. Like, I feel I have to be thinking about it all the time and listening to calls all the time and on podcasts all the time to like, keep doing it. And sometimes I just get tired of it. And sometimes I'm like, I'm not going to listen to anything. I'm not going to read anything. I just need to stop for a while. And then so
why do you want to stop though? In those moments, you tell me why you want to stop.
I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I would like to think about other things or,
Things for sure. But if you want to lose weight, you're going to have to think about weight loss a lot to where you're mentally exhausted.
Yeah, that I get, but so when I'm mentally exhausted, what I'm supposed to do? Just keep going? Just like rest for a while or what should I do?
If you're going to lose weight and you're really tired and you start saying to yourself, I'm really tired of this whole weight loss thing, that's when you have to be like, we don't get to be tired with this.
Okay.
Either want my goal or I want to like stay exactly as I am.
That I don't want.
Right. You have to want your goal more than you want to feel rested right now. Now, if you're mentally wearing yourself out, there's a difference between being tired because you're giving it 1,000% and being tired because you're half-assing and beating yourself up and not really doing it. You're going to get so exhausted if you're not doing the stuff to lose the weight. So like if you're listening, like I want all of you to hear this. If you're listening to every podcast and you're listening to all the Facebook lives and you're doing all the things and you're not making a 24-hour plan, you're going to be really exhausted. You know why? You'd be like, why can't I get my fucking shit together? Like I'm listening to everything. Yeah, you're not doing jack shit though.
Yeah.
So tell me what you're actually doing. So how much?
I'm actually doing the second thing. Like I'm doing like just half of everything. Because I do, the only thing I really, really do is drink my water. That's like completely changed.
Why are we not just making a 24-hour plan every single day?
I am. I do make my 24-hour plan, but I do not follow it every day.
Okay, but you make your plan every single day.
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay.
But the thing is, the first 2 months I did it, and I did it like really realistic, and I did lose weight. Like it was perfect.
Why did you stop doing that?
Because then I don't know, I got into my head that I needed to level up, that I wasn't going to keep losing weight if I keep doing those kind of of plans. When I hear myself, I actually don't really think I need you to tell me anything. But so I tried to level up, and then I started, like, I didn't like my plans, and I started switching things because it didn't feel like my plans. It just felt like a version of a plan that I thought I was supposed to be doing to keep.
Okay, me. And here's the problem. That was not called a level up.
Right.
Right?
But
it's called rushing the process, because I think losing the weight's going to be better than where I'm at right now.
Right. Because I got really excited because I was losing weight. So I decided, you know.
There's nothing wrong with being excited about losing weight. And if you want to change your plan to lose more weight, you need to be in agreement that, oh, okay, in order to do that, if I'm going to level up, it still has to have a commitment level to it. And if I get 3 days in and I'm not committed, I should probably just go back to what I was doing.
Right.
Because I never leveled up. I lied to myself.
The thing is, I feel when I do the realistic plan and I put things in my plan that I've never eaten before when I was on a plan, basically, or when I was in a diet, that's when I feel I'm cheating myself, not when I do an unrealistic plan with healthy food.
So this is the funny thing. I want to point this out. This is so awesome. I make really unrealistic plans and I don't follow them, but that's not cheating myself. What's really cheating myself is making realistic plans that I actually commit and have my own back to and lose weight. I am cheating on myself. Oh my God. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
We cheat on ourselves when we lie to ourselves. Right. When we break our promises to ourselves. Are you married?
Yeah.
All right. So if you went out and you told your husband, like, I'm screwing around, he would be like, I think you might be cheating on me.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. You're screwing around on yourself. And you're somehow trying to call it like you're not cheating.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
This is really simple. You're not tired.
Yeah.
You're tired of your bullshit. There's a difference between being tired. That's why I asked, like, what's actually going on? You're not tired because you're listening. Like, I'm going to ask you this. If you are listening to every word I have to say in PNP, and you are following a realistic plan and still losing 1 to 2 pounds a week, would you be like, Brynn, I'm just so mentally exhausted with all.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. Absolutely not.
No. Because you would be invigorated, because you would be doing things and following through with yourself. You would be energized by having your back. But what you are is you're fucking tired because you know you're lying to yourself and you're cheating on yourself. That is an exhausting game.
It is, because actually I do my plan in the morning, and then because it is not realistic, I spend the rest of the day thinking about it. Like, oh, you know, you're going to be hungry. You're going to need a snack. You didn't put a snack on.
Right. You should have gone. It's going to be terrible. Right.
And so I then get caught up on all that noise. And then I think, oh, I'm confused. I'm tired. And definitely.
Just be honest and say, I am confused. I'm trying to cheat on myself and make it seem like an amazing thing. This is the thing. When people have an affair, they have to sneak around and hide, and they're always thinking about it and worried they're going to get caught. That is essentially what you're doing with yourself. Right. It's an exhausting process, and it's terrible. And no wonder you're wanting to quit on yourself. It's like, yeah, if I was sitting around doing all that, I'd be like, I'm peace out. I just want you to do this. I don't want you to quit on you. I want you to quit doing shenanigans and get back to doing stuff that feels good.
Right. I know. It is so simple now, but I got lost on it.
Just go back to realistic plans. I'm going to tell all of you all the time. It's so amazing. No one ever comes on here and is like, Corinne, those realistic plans don't work.
Yeah.
This is what happens. The realistic plan doesn't work. And I'm like, all right, tell me your last one. Well, I'm not making them. Or, mine's not really realistic. I'm actually planning stuff that should get me some weight loss, but I'm just not following it. Then it will never get you weight loss. What you can't follow will never get you weight loss.
Right.
What you will follow is what will get you weight loss. If I can lose 100 pounds eating the bullshit I ate all the way down and then figure out how to keep it off and figure out, like, this is the thing, like, where you're planning right now, this healthy, leveled up version of you, she may be in 25 pounds, ready. Yeah. But you got to get there.
Yeah, exactly. Because that version is who I was before when I wasn't losing weight either way. Like, I was trying to be all these healthy, and I didn't really like what I was eating anyway.
But what if what you're planning now is healthy? You have a lot of judgment around what you're planning as if it's not healthy.
It's not because it's healthy. It's because it's not what I really want. Like, because it's not because it's healthy, because I do eat healthy, even when I want to know,
what does a realistic plan look like you for a day?
I usually don't have breakfast because I'm not hungry.
Okay.
And a very realistic plan would be like to have pasta with veggies or with meat at lunch.
Okay.
And then I'll have a snack in the afternoon because we have dinner very late. So I'll have like, I don't know, maybe it's like cheese and a little piece of bread or something like that.
Okay.
And dinner could be, I don't know, chicken and salad and rice.
Okay.
Like that. Yeah, that's
and that's your realistic plan.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is the one that we have cast all ugly judgment on.
Yes.
Although it sounds very healthy to me, I'm just like, sounds like something I'd like to do today. I wish I had some pasta cooked. I would probably have it.
But then I get all this judgment about pasta and rice, for example, which is, I know it's not real. It just comes from like this old me. That really comes back like, oh, if you don't eat that, it's going
to
be
fasting. I love how you guys are always listening to the old me who couldn't keep her weight off.
I know.
I would quit, like, everybody, let's just do this collective agreement. We quit asking the version of us who can't lose weight. What do I do?
Yeah.
Like, here's what you guys, could you imagine if my new diet platform is like, I lost 100 pounds and I regained all of it. Now come talk to me about what you should do.
Yeah, right.
But that's what every one of you do. You're sitting around and you're just like, hey, I'm going to go access the version of me who doesn't have her fucking shit together and be like, let's make a plan. Yeah. She's the worst person to ask. You know who you need to be asking?
Future me. Right.
The future you. And she's sitting there going like, get out of your past.
Right.
Come talk to me. Guess what we did? We lost all of our weight and we had pasta all the way down.
Yeah. And it's funny because the two first months that I did that kind of realistic planning, I lost like 10 pounds. And then this last month, I just have like these 2 pounds going up and down, up and down, up and down. They're absolutely not moving.
Yeah. Because you're not following a plan.
Yeah, exactly.
You just grab assing. And I'm going to tell you, when you're not following a plan, you may be eating almost exactly the same as your realistic plan, but with a little bonuses in there. Some little bucket moments of just like, well, I'm not following a plan. I can't do this. I'm so exhausted. Blah, blah, blah. So you start adding in shenanigans.
Exactly. Yeah.
No shenanigans.
Yeah.
Everybody, this does not have to be as miserable as we're trying to make.
I was feeling like it was very intense, like everything was being very intense suddenly, because at the beginning it felt very intense, like all the time.
It only feels intense because of what you'll be thinking about it.
Right.
So examine when I was feeling like this is intense, what were my thoughts? And let's change those, because whatever you want to feel about it, we can do the very productive, amazing things, and we get to feel however we want. So, like, right. How do you want it to feel? Easy?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, I want it to feel natural. I want it to feel natural.
Right, you want it to feel natural?
Yeah.
Then you probably should have a thought of, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to plan the way I plan to live this.
Right.
That would feel kind of natural.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm going to resist the urge to act like I used to. Because that is really what's happening here, is you guys have this knee-jerk urge to be that person to think about that stuff. And it's like, you know, that's the urges I need to deal with. Let me have my realistic plan and let me resist the urge to do the shenanigans.
Right.
I don't need that stuff. That's how it starts feeling easier.
Yeah. I can see it. Yeah. Where are you from? I'm from Spain. From Madrid.
I just had a friend who got back from Spain. She did a big race in Spain. So, and when you said, one, you have an accent, but when you said that about eating late, oh my God, she didn't stand it. She was like restaurants don't even open here until like 8 o'clock at night. She's like, I'm in bed by 8. I was like, thank God I'm not with you. I would never eat.
That's why I don't have breakfast. It's just,
yes.
I don't have time for breakfast.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Kareen.
Bye. I like how I'm asking about somebody's accent. I could tell you have an accent. Brooke. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, I was sitting here going, not me, not me, not me. So.
Why?
Because I'm, I was sitting here writing models about my issue.
Okay. Well, it's so funny. I like how you're saying, not me, not me, but I kept my hand up.
I know.
That's a real easy solve. Lower.
I was texting Julie Collins earlier and I'm like, I signed up and I got chosen and I don't want to do it. She's like, you got chosen because you need to get it done. So
there you go. She's got good advice. All right. So tell everybody what we're coaching on.
Okay. So I have never settled my mom's estate.
Okay.
She died 15 years ago.
Okay.
And she has several like retirement accounts and there's not a, I mean, there's a substantial amount of money and it's just out there floating. And I'm an only child and there's nobody else that the money would go to but me. And I've never dealt with it.
So why have you not dealt with it?
So my mom died and then my stepdad like dropped dead 5 months later.
Okay.
And this was 15 years ago. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle it. So I finally went and met with the attorney who had done their wills. And it was a few months later. And I had such a bad experience. They gave me a really hard time. They're like, why haven't you been in here sooner? Why didn't you take care of this? So I just kind of shut down and I didn't have anyone at that time helping me. I didn't really know what to do.
Okay.
So then I hired an attorney a few years later who I thought had taken care of it. And I don't have any documentation that I need. She didn't have me named as a beneficiary. So I can see in the court documents that something was, that the wills were filed, but I don't have any paperwork saying that it's mine and I'm stuck. And so now my husband, who was not my husband then, says, you know, you've got to deal with this. And it would really, it's enough money that it would change us. Like we would be able to buy a house and I want to move. And every time he brings it up, I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of feelings.
What's your prevailing feeling?
I think my prevailing feeling is, can I have two?
Yeah.
Confused and overwhelmed.
Okay, but what's underneath that? So like, of course you're going to be confused and overwhelmed because something underneath is driving you to stick there. Because if you stay in confusion and overwhelmed, that doesn't feel terrible. It doesn't feel good, but it also doesn't like you don't have to do anything. You're not going to have to do the work, right? So what's underneath that? Are you afraid of something?
I'm afraid of not knowing where to start.
So you don't know where to start?
I don't want to be taken advantage of. Like I've had some recovery companies reach out to me in the last many years you know, and for 30%, they'll do it for me. And I'm like, but I feel like something's been done. I feel like whatever needs to be done, this sounds so stupid. Whatever I feel like needs to be done, I know that I'm smart enough to figure it out, yet I just haven't. And
well, it's because you're thinking you're going to get taken advantage of either by yourself or someone else. And so far, all you've done is take advantage. You're the one taking advantage of you. You're the one sitting there cheating yourself out of feeling confident you'll figure it out, cheating your husband and yourself out of a different life you might be able to have, all because you're just using this one sentence against yourself.
When he brings it up to me, I have feelings of a little bit of resentment. He owns his own business and he spent the money in our savings account and is now trying to replenish it. And there's part of me, and so I keep saying to him, like, you have to understand this is my money that's out there sitting there. It's not our money. And so I think that's a little bit part of it too, is.
So why do you resent your husband?
Because he spent the money in our savings account.
Well, so here's what I want to solve for you. The only reason why you're not moving forward on this is because you're going to have to clean up the resentment that you're experiencing with your husband. Otherwise, when I asked you, what are you afraid of? You're probably afraid if I put more money in, he'll spend that too.
Yeah. And this is something, I mean, we've only been together for 5 years. So this was an issue long before, but I don't want him to see this as a get out of jail free card for him. Like that I'm a teacher. Like, why am I supporting us? But when he says, like, let's sit down, and I feel what I hear from him is like a lecturing tone in why haven't you taken care of this? Because I do feel like in every other area of my life, I'm a pretty confident, badass bitch. Like, but this one thing holds me back, and I don't know how to, I don't even know who to call for it to be a first step.
I think you keep thinking that, like, Corinne, just help me solve this confusion on what to do.
Who do I call?
Yeah, like, Corinne does not have that answer. Trust me, when my parents croak, Corinne's not getting left with anything but bills. So you're going to have to tell me who to call, how to clean that up. So I don't have that answer, but I have the answer as to why you're not accessing your own wisdom and just getting in there and doing this work. You don't have a compelling reason to do it. You have a compelling reason not to. You resent your husband. You have a lot of thoughts around the way he manages money. This is my money. Like, this is going to have to be y'all's money. I mean, you can keep it as your own, but you're keeping it on your own from distrust and from resentment. You want to keep it on your own from love? That's very different. But that's why right now you're repelling the money, because you think now he's going to take advantage of me. So it's a lot easier to just not deal with it and to like, oh, this is all because I'm confused. It's all because I don't know where to start. It's all of these things. It's like, no, your work is on your husband. You need to come to peace with whatever's happened with this financial situation between the two of you. Tell me more about that.
So it was the money that we received as wedding gifts.
Okay.
Like 4.5 years ago. And we opened up an account attached to his credit union. We have separate bank accounts.
Okay.
He writes me a check every month. I pay the bills. And so one day he just told me, he's like, I've dipped into that money, but I'm going to replace it. Okay. And I lost some trust. I was like, listen, I get it. Like, that if money's short, but you have to tell me.
Okay.
And because I don't see that account, I have access to it if I went there, but I don't check it. Why would I? You know, to me, it's just sitting there. And then he basically told me again that he got into it again. And then he finally said, you know, I'll have $7,000 put back in there, you know, within whatever time frame. And that's been a few months. So again, this issue has been hanging out there longer, but I totally get what you're saying. And he still hasn't worked on putting that money back, because now he said that every month he's going to give me $1,000 for me to put into a savings account. So he doesn't have the easy access to move money around and take from that account.
Okay. So what do you make all this mean about him and you?
I don't want to be the gatekeeper. I don't want to check up on him. I don't want to not trust him.
Then don't do any of that.
I feel like he's so shitty with money, and I'm shitty with money. But I have student loan debt, you know, like that's mine. He has credit card debt, and now he's run through this money trying to run his business. And I've said to him, listen, there's something in your business model that's not working. And he's asked for my help. And then when we actually try to sit down, he's defensive and pushes me away. And so I guess in turn, when he comes to me with this, I shut it down. And you're right. And he even said, he's like, Brooke, you're going to be so upset if you find out that there was a time frame in which you had to take care of this and that you've lost it. And I said, well, then I guess I lost it.
You have a thought that you're both shitty with money. I love how you're judging him and you self-admittedly are like, and I'm shitty with money too, but I have all this judgment over him and how he manages money.
I have to keep coming to Nashville. But I can afford it on what I, you know, with what I do. And so I guess I say I'm shitty with money, but yet I've never needed to borrow from the wedding account. And I've even said to him, like,
what if neither of you are shitty with money? What if that thought, let's just pretend for a moment that that thought doesn't serve anyone in this situation. We're shitty with money. I think you think that's true.
I wish we had more money.
What if we're learning how to figure out money? This is going to be a process. So I'm going to tell you, if you keep hanging on to the belief that we're shitty with money and he's not a good business person and all this other stuff, you're not going to take care of this over here. And it's fine if you do it or don't. Here's the deal. You don't have the money now. You don't do jack shit with it. You don't lose anything. If they say, oh, you missed your timeline, you didn't lose anything. You never had it to begin with. I think just thinking about that is like, this is a whole separate thing. You need to deal with the way you two are both working your mind around each other when it comes to money. You do not have to have certain accounts, but you can't sit there and lord that you're a better, like, I'm better at it than he is. How does that feel?
Well, it feels true. But
like when you think that thought though, I'm better at money than him.
It makes me feel, you want a thought or a feeling?
I want a feeling. And then if I need to, I can check it with a thought.
It makes me feel a little bit controlling. It makes me feel a little bit disappointed.
And that's because you're thinking what?
Like, why can't he be better? Why can't he make more money? Why can't he take care of this?
He should be taking care of this. He should be making more money. He should be whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the thoughts I need you to work on. Because, like in our family, I make better money and I love it every day. Like, I am better with money than Chris. It's not because he's shitty. I just happen to be the talented one in the group. But that's not where your head's at. You make it mean. This money thing, you've got to, like, if you're better at money, if you're legit better at money, own that you do the money better. I'm saying we're both shitty at it. But that's not where you're at. You think he should be doing things, and he's proving not really good at money. So why would I want someone who's not good at money to suddenly figure out how to shit the, like, golden goose egg? Do you think it's because he's not trying and on purpose terrible? Or do you think it's just like, maybe he really isn't good at money? And this is going to be, this is the part of the relationship that I'm going to be really good at.
So do I need to work on the feelings and thoughts around the money that he spent?
I would for sure start there. About why you thought he spent it. Like, why do you think he spent this money?
I think he spent the money because he operates frequently with his business out of fear.
Okay. Very much like how you're operating with this, you're doing the same thing with the inheritance, operating out of fear and getting nowhere and losing money. Now we're losing the money. We have money. We're going to flip it just a little bit. All right. So we're doing the same thing. So he's operating out of fear in his business.
Yep. And so he has done when he, so he's a house painter. So if he works for someone and he has things that he has to buy up front or car payment or whatever, and it'll take him maybe 2 weeks to get paid, the money has to come from someplace.
Yeah.
And so I've just said, I'm like, you have, like, why aren't you getting half the money up front? Like, why are we paying for somebody's supplies for you to paint their house?
And his answer is what?
That I should stay in my lane. That, you know, and he has, I would say he's making more money now than he did when I met him.
Okay.
But I don't know what his bank account looks like.
But you agreed you guys are having separate ones. Here's the thing that I find very interesting with you. Mm-hmm. You want to, like, no, we're going to keep it separate. This is my money. This is all this other stuff. But I really want to know what all's going on in your banking account, and I really want to see all this stuff, and I really want to, like.
I only want to know, and he can do whatever he wants.
No, he can't.
Put an account my name's on.
No. He can't do whatever he wants. Right now, that's what he's doing. This is always a lie. I want all of you to hear this. Here's the biggest lie we ever tell ourselves. They can do whatever they want. Except I'm sitting over here in total judgment and pissed about it. Because if doing whatever they want, like right now, here's what he wants to do. He wants to run his business out of fear. He doesn't want to ask for money up front. He wants to borrow out of the savings account. He wants to tell you about it. And he wants to pay it back on his timeline. That's what he wants to do. And how do we know this? How do you know that this is what he wants to do? Very easy.
I don't.
No, you do, because he's already done it that way.
Oh, okay. From the empty savings account? Is that my
idea? Yes. This is how he wants to do it, because that's how he's doing it. It's just like if I was to say, here's how I know you want to fuck off an inheritance. Because you're not doing jack shit about it. Like, you're like, well, that's not really what I want to do. I'm kind of confused. I'm like, no. You really want to, like, do it this way. Because I'm watching you do it. So don't sit there and say a lie to you, because it makes you feel bad. It tricks you into believing he can do whatever he wants, just as long as he does it the way I want him to do it.
Yes.
Well, it's so much easier for you to solve your own problems when you know you have false expectations of someone. Like, I, in my perfect world, this is how he behaves and acts and does money. And now I'm mad at him because he's not performing the way I think he should. That is why I'm mad. I am not mad because he spent money. I am mad because I think he shouldn't have spent the money. I am not mad because he asks for his payment after the work's done. I'm mad because I think he's shitty at running his business. It's first and foremost, Brooke, you got to take ownership of everything you're judging him on. And then you got to decide, do I want to be the kind of wife that runs my marriage in judgment?
No, of course not.
Right. Because it feels shitty for you.
It does. Now,
this does not mean that you cannot have conversations about a savings account, but here's how you're coming at it. You are talking to him about money in a resentful way with false expectations and expecting him to be someone he doesn't want to be or hasn't so far shown he's even willing to be yet. That is why the conversations go to poop, and that is why we don't work on all of this. And what I find amazing is that through all of this, you think he's terrible with money, and yet you think he should be helping you with all of this, more money.
Right. So do I work on this together? Do I work on my thoughts about him and then also take action?
Here's what I would do. How do you want to think about him right now with money?
I do think that he's doing the best he can.
That's a good thought. One, he's doing the best he can.
And I also want him to not think I'm judging him.
Okay, you can't control what he's going to think.
Okay.
But if you don't want him to think you're not judging him, for sure don't come in judging him.
You know, it's funny because I don't even bring it up because I don't know a way to bring it up without being a complete bitch about it and making.
What are you wanting to say to him? What is it that you're wanting to say?
I'm wanting to say, like, for 5 months, you've been telling me you're going to give me an extra $1,000 a month, and it's July. Where's the money?
But even the way you said it, you're saying it as if he's wrong. You're saying it as if he's done something bad. In your mind, because he hasn't done this, this is wrong, this is bad. Which makes you feel judgmental and makes you feel bad. How would you like to have that? Like, if you're going to have that conversation, how would you like to be able to feel when you come to him?
I would like to feel open. I would like to feel understanding. I would really like to feel like it's okay if you don't have a solution. I just want to know where we are.
What if you had that conversation versus the one where you just had from judgment? It's been 5 months. You've given me no money. I want to know what's going on versus what you just said, which was very loving. That came from someone who's like, who loves her husband and knows he's doing the best he can. It's like, I want to help you. I want to help both of us. We're both right now trying to figure out money. And I get it because I've got this part over here that I'm doing the best I can on. It's really going to be like, I want you to do more models though on where resentment is your feeling, because the resentment means it should have never happened this way.
I didn't even make my list, so I'll get it.
Yeah. And I want all of you to hear that whenever you're resenting something, it's because you are sitting and you're thinking they shouldn't have done it like this. And that's always a painful place to be in, because the only thing we have now is like the money that's been spent. The money that's there, the money that's not there, are now all circumstances. They've already happened. So we know for sure they should have happened. Unless you're going to somehow get in your time machine, go back in time, rewind shit, and like not let him do it. It's the only way that that ever gets to change.
I wish I knew.
It's impossible. So it's like it has happened. and now what? I want to be a loving wife. I want us to grow through this. And what is the best way to do that? Wouldn't it be amazing if you're not shitty with money? What if at the end of all of this, you come up with like, oh my gosh, like I'm so good with money. I'm so good at it that I can help someone who's not really good at it feel better about themselves.
Right. Yes.
About.
That would feel great.
Yeah. All right. Good luck, Mama.
Thanks.
Good seeing your pretty face.
See you in October.
All right. Bye, baby. She's been to many events, if y'all want to know why. I keep talking to her as if we're having a love affair somewhere. Let's grab one more. Laura Massey, you have an interesting one. Oh, I want to do this one. Why is my thingy not pulling it up? Here we go. Come on now. And then we'll get out of here. I always say I'm going to do an hour and then I always go late because I'm get all hung up and talking to people.
I ran out of my office. It's full of spine bros and I figured they wouldn't want to hear about returning models. So,
there we
go. Okay. So, my newest issue is not about work. It's that I'm doing pretty well with PNP. And I am also an only child, so I relate a lot to the last,
to Brooke.
Yeah. So, the issue is, and that helped a lot. My mom really wants to lose a lot of weight and she's never really struggled with her weight until like the last 10 years or so. And I know the backstory is not important. She's so supportive that I almost feel responsible for her feelings a lot of times. And so I'm trying to show her kind of the basics of PNP and help her, you know, the technology freaks her out and just, you know, a lot of old diet mentality. She's a type 1 diabetic. And so I'm trying to help her with it. And I think what I'm bumping on is that you can't want something for someone and they can tell you all day that they want it. But I feel like my manual is that if she wants it, she's going to do it.
I think that's fine. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with unless that thought leads you to feel like ass.
Well, it leads me. So in a lot of areas in the last like 5 or so years, it's that weird time where you start becoming the adult in the relationship and helping them navigate stuff. And so I'm happy to do that when they ask me, but it seems like a lot of times they'll just let it happen because it's almost easier for everyone. And yeah. I'm pushier, obviously. So,
you're good at it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, all right. But so I guess, I don't know where I guess it's not a boundary thing. I don't know where to offer support. I don't know whether to be, cause like when I've pushed her a little bit to be honest about other areas of her life, she's done amazing. She's had amazing growth in those areas. She stopped drinking in January and she, you know, she did rehab, she did it all herself. And she's like come out the other end of that totally changed and totally owning that. And I don't think that I was the reason that she did that. I was just the person that said like, hey, do you want to talk about this? And so now I feel like I don't like you would be like your program or a program or whatever she chooses to do would be the structure of the analogous
situation. It's now her circumstance.
Yeah, exactly. But I can't make her engage in it, I guess. And so I'm feeling like shit when I try to be like, where's your plan for today? You know,
and why do you, so that's a really good example. So you ask your mom, where's your plan for today? Why do you feel like shit?
So I feel like shit because there's like the feeling I get back is that I'm kicking a puppy
that you're what?
That I'm like kicking a puppy that she's like, well, I couldn't figure out how to print it. And then like,
so when she says, I can't figure out how to print it or I'm having technology issues or whatever. You think I'm kicking a puppy.
I think it's bullshit that she would figure it out if she wanted to figure it out.
But what if it was the truth? What if she like legit? Yeah. I'm not good at the tech. Like in these podcasts and.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to go to get a search button.
To her credit, she figured, like, she can't figure out how to print it every day, so she just copied one of them. She just made, like, 50 copies of it, which is great. But so, every day, it's, like, a different thing. I'm okay. Like, oh, well, I don't know where Dad's going to want to eat for dinner. And I'm like, oh, let me explain to you. You can just say, like, I'm just going to eat when I'm hungry and stop when I've had enough or what. Like,
well, this is the thing. I think for you, it's, like, where are you offering the advice from?
Yeah.
Is it from an agenda of like, I'm going to tell her all this stuff, but she better do it. Or she you got to get out of her model. This is what I want. This is where this, I think, will help you a little bit. And then we can like figure out some other stuff. When you say, here's the print button, or, oh, you don't need, like, you say these things.
Yeah.
That's now her model with a circumstance. Okay. For her to think and believe anything that she's going to think about what you said, she may think, thank God she told me. She may think, I'm fucking old and can't figure it out. She may think, she's crazy. I have to eat what Daddy wants.
Right.
All of those, though, she gets to decide what she's going to think and feel.
Okay.
Can you offer, it's just like when I get on these coaching calls, I swear to God, if I had an agenda with all of you, I'd be a freaking basket case.
Yeah.
Especially when y'all come back and want to coach on the same shit, like 4 months later. Well, yeah, I was on that coaching call and I didn't do jack crap. If I had an agenda.
No, it's not about work today.
Okay. But if I had an agenda, where everybody had to do what I said.
Right.
Burn out and I would burn this whole business to the ground. But I don't have an, you know why? Because I always think, like, I'm so willing to say it 1,000 times.
Okay.
I think for you with your mom, it's like, you love your mom, right?
Right.
So why are you ultimately telling her all this?
I want to make it easier for her. She sees it working for me. It's not easy, but it's doable no matter where you're at and what you're dealing with. You know, and I know she's type 1 diabetic.
But what do you ultimately want for you?
I want her to be happy. And I feel like when she asks me questions about the weight loss and just all this stuff in general, that it's like she's looking for me to help her get there. And that's me taking on that.
I think you need to figure out the result that you really want out of this. If your result is, I make my mom happy.
Yeah.
Not ever going to happen.
No.
Because then you're going to have judgments around, like, then you're going to have agenda around, well, if she was doing this and she did this, then this would make her happy. Like, now you know the source of her happiness. Maybe when she goes out with your dad and he's like jack shit, in that moment, she's making herself happy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is where we have to figure out, like, what do you really want out of all of this and be true to your model? Because remember, mommy can't be in your model. She cannot be the result. So her feelings cannot be there. Ultimately, you're helping your mom. What do you want the result for you to be?
I guess. See, this is hard because I feel like this is something I have to let go of, is that she is so expressive with how proud she is of everything else that I've done for her, that I do feel like she verbalizes to me as my circumstance then that what I have done has made her happy or not. And so then
that's fine. That's she why says, I'm like, Mom, you make me so happy. Do you know what your thought can be? She has amazing thoughts about me.
Okay.
I never did that.
Right.
I showed up in the world and I'm one of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
I'm one of the ones that moms looks at them and has so many happy thoughts. Whereas like me, I can show up amazing and my mom is like, buy me a house.
Well, they say that too.
But you know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah.
I want you to really, like, this will help you so much. It's like, okay. She's not giving you evidence that you make her happy. She's giving you evidence that she has flourishing thoughts about you that make herself happy. She just doesn't know that's what's happening. You know the model. When she gets over her tech issues, she'll listen to module 3 or module 4 also and learn that. She'll be like, you never made me happy. I am so great. It's great things about you.
My dad keeps telling me I'm allowed to think what I want.
That's right.
Okay.
That's your mom.
You're right.
So then, no, so if your mom is like, you're never truly making her happy. She's always just thinking amazing shit about you. I want you to think about in your model, when you're helping your mother with PNP, that's your action line, helping mommy with PNP.
Okay.
What result do you really want for Laura or Laura?
For me, I want to feel like I've been there for her and I'm happy with, yeah, okay.
That's an amazing result. So your thought, like it's going to tie to the thought of I'm here for you. And when you're here for someone, you have no agenda.
Okay.
It means I will tell you every day and twice on Sunday that you can go to dinner with daddy and not eat whatever you want, even if it means every day and twice on Sunday you do the same thing. I'm just here for you.
Okay. I like that a lot better.
Yeah,
that's
what that will help clean a lot of this up for you.
Okay. Awesome.
I knew this one was going to be a good one. When I read the thing, I was like, oh, I want to coach this. All right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. We're going to call it at that, guys. Thank you for everybody that showed up for the calls. Y'all, the new call structure is we send you a massive action line on Sunday like we always have in PNP. That is your newsletter. We're putting on there Corinne's calls for the week so that you know exactly where I'm going to be and when I'm going to be there. And then if you want to get coached, you just email support@pnptribe.com with any of the dates that you see on the, you can do it from that week's massive action line. You can also do it through the training calendar and just say like, hey, I'd like to get coached. We're putting you all on a list, and I'm just going to try to get through as many people as I can every call. Sometimes we have to really dig in with someone, and the other day I got through 6. So I appreciate it. If you didn't get on today and you want to try to get on another one, just look to see when I'm coaching. And we also have office hours with the coaches, which there's no appointment. You just show up and you raise your hand. All right, guys. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye.